Our appointed psalm for this morning is Psalm 78. Psalm 78 itself has 72 verses. You will be glad to know that we will not be saying 72 verses, but we will be saying verse 1 to 8. So if I say the odd numbers and you say the even numbers and just follow after me. So it is Psalm 78. My people hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and his wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation. The words were not loyal to God. The spirits are not faithful to him. We've come to that point in our service where usually if things were under normal circumstances, the kids would all be up at my feet. But there is something that I want to share with you this morning. I wonder if you've ever been driving along a road and you've seen the signs under construction. I always think whenever I drive on the motorway or on a road and I see this sign that that's going to be a really nice road when it's finished. But once one sign goes down, it appears that another sign goes up. The road works seem endless. And those signs, it's like the road is never ending. They never really finish working on it. But the same is true of our lives. In Philippians 1 verse 6 it says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You see, we travel down the road of life. God is always working on us. We are always under construction by him to make us the kind of person that he wants to be. Maybe you have been in a Christian bookshop and you've seen little gifts or bookmarks or cards that say, be patient, God isn't finished with me yet. And as cheesy as that sounds, it's true. God will be working on us the rest of our lives. You see, we're imperfect, but we serve a perfect God. And when he gets finished with one part, it will be time to start working on another part. So the next time that you are traveling along the motorway, or you're in the road, or you're traveling around Lisburn, who has many roadworks, the next time you pass by that spot and the road is under construction, I want you to remember that God is working at smoothing out those places in your lives. The rough places, the parts that maybe you don't want him to see, all of that he is going to smooth out because of Philippians 1 verse 6. And I'll read it again. It says this, be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. We're imperfect, but he hasn't finished working on us because we serve a perfect God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you of who you are, of all that you do for us in our lives. And we thank you for the gift of our life. And Father, may we find joy in this gift of life. Father, you don't miss a thing. You see everything that happens in our lives, from school to work to home to whatever we are doing Monday to Sunday. You see absolutely everything. And Lord, we pray that we wouldn't be afraid to share with you all those bumpy bits in our lives. But we pray knowing that you are the God who is still working on us. You are the perfect God who is smoothing things out for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Today's reading comes from Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3. Just before we start that, we prayed this morning that the gremlins wouldn't be in the system, but they seem to have really crept in today. Our reading today, obviously Laura had prepared that for us, and we thank her for that. But our reading comes from Philippians today. Philippians is a book that is a book full of encouragement for the church. A book that is written to the church and for the church, not just in Philippi, but the church throughout the generations. And so hear these words from chapter 1 and verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. And God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. As Sarah already alluded, we continue our series, You Are the Church. So far we have heard that we are ordinary people transformed by an extraordinary God. That the first disciples, the first elements of the church, devoted themselves to the Word of God, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Last week, Sarah really encouraged us to think about the four alls, that God is all-powerful, that we are sent to all nations, that we follow with all obedience, and that he is always with us. That his presence goes with us. His presence is powerful. His presence drives us, actually, to be present with other people. The fact that Jesus was present with so many individuals, and actually, whenever you read the Gospels, Jesus' life was centered around quite a small geographical area. And so his presence with those who knew him not only best as in his family, but also as disciples and the people who lived in those villages, it meant that Jesus lived in like a, if he sensed a goldfish bowl. What he said had to be lived out, otherwise he would be caught out. And so his presence with people was a very powerful thing. And that's what drives us as the church, to be present with other people. Sometimes I find myself sitting in pastoral situations and using this phrase, there are no words. But I'm willing to be here. Because actually the ministry of presence can be even more powerful than filling the air with words. And so that concept that Jesus is always with us spurs us and pushes us as the church to be present with other people. There's a word called, and I can never really pronounce this properly, koinonia. That's the way I'm going to say it, anyway. Koinonia. And it means fellowship. And fellowship is a word that we would use quite a bit within church circles. In one sense, you could say it's a churchy word. We'll stay after church coffee, have some fellowship. We'll do a parish barbecue and we'll have fun and fellowship. But what does that actually mean? What does having fellowship mean? Because any number of people can meet and chat. Well, not allowed in each other's houses. You're allowed up to a maximum of six from two different families in your gardens at the moment. But you know what I mean? We can We can meet in a coffee shop and we can have conversations. Just because people and individuals meet together and have conversations together, what makes it different whenever we, the church, do that? Why is that? Is there a distinction? And what makes the distinction? Fellowship suggests something subjective, warmth, security. But biblically, fellowship is objective. It's an objective fact. Fellowship happens around the presence of Jesus. He is risen. He's alive. He is present with us. And so fellowship happens for the church because he is present with us. And that changes the dynamic. It changes the atmosphere. You are the church. We are the church. We meet in his name for his glory. We don't just come on a Sunday, whether it's here or joining us online. We just don't do this simply because we think it's a really good idea. We do it for his praise and for his glory, that there's something dynamically happens whenever a collection of people meet together to worship the living God. I've said this often from the front, but if you look around, just take a wee look around. If you look around at each other, and give me the grace to say it as I always say, these aren't necessarily the people you would choose to be with. Because we choose to be with individuals who are like-minded to us, who work in the same environment, who have the same hobbies or interests. And that's what makes the church so beautiful, because we are such a diverse group of people brought together with one purpose, to worship God. That's what makes us distinct. His presence makes us distinct. In fact, that's what Moses said in Exodus 33, after he came down off Mount Sinai, and the Israelites had made the idol, and Moses had smashed the golden calf. And then God says, look, if I go with you anymore, my anger will burn against you. And Moses says, but Lord, how can I go anywhere without your presence? Because that's what makes us distinct. And so the fellowship that we have, the gathering together that we have, makes us distinctly the church, because he is present with us. Verse 3, my God, every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I thank my God every time I remember you. I don't know about you, but COVID-19 and especially that season of lockdown taught me a number of new things, or reinforced or refreshed a number of things within me. The importance of how I use my time, the importance of friends and family, the importance of meeting together, the importance of communication, lots of other stuff. But one of the things that it also taught me, because I wasn't able as the rector, as a minister of this parish, to be out and about, if you like, within the parish, it taught me a new sense of sitting and praying through your names. And you're not just names on a sheet, your faces, individuals, families. And names are so important as we have fellowship, aren't they? To hear someone say your name means that you are known. To hear someone recount your name means that they remember you. So I thank my God every time I remember you. Because we're in this together. It's a new slogan, isn't it? We're in this together. But we, the church, we're in this together. Verse 4 and 5 says, in all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He who began a good work in you will carry it on until the day of completion. Sarah has very clearly alluded to that already today. God's not finished with us. He's not finished with you. He's not finished with me. And actually, something I was struck as I prepared for today was a phrase, something like this, that God does not seek or want an army of elite warriors. He calls an army of inadequate people who are willing to seek his presence. Because that's where the power is. It's in God's presence. It's not in how good I am or you are. It's in the fact that he is present with us. Why do we stick together? Look at verse 6. Being confident that this he began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. This is not all that there is. There's a day coming when we will be made complete, whole and perfect. Not because of what you've done or what I have done, but because of what he has done on the cross. That day is coming, and some would say that day is coming very quickly and very soon. We don't know when, we don't know how, but we do know that one day he will return. And so there needs to be, in a sense, a deeper bond between us than those that we meet in the street. And just simply acquaintances. There needs to be a deep-rooted relationship between us as individuals and collectively as the church. Because that's what will make us attractive and distinct. Verse 7 says, it is right for me to feel this way about you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending or confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with affection of Christ Jesus. One of the things that strikes me as I have had conversations over the last couple of years of being here with you is that as people have come to join this community of believers over a period of years, actually, one of the things that has attracted them, if you like, to stay is the warmth in which they were welcomed. And that is a powerful testimony for you, for us as this church. Never, let us never lose that. Such a powerful, powerful thing. Whenever believers dwell in unity, as it says in Psalm 133, God commands a blessing. Whenever we sing with the same purpose, and not just sing as in now that we're able to sing under our masks, and what an appropriate song, Morning Has Broken, sing the first song, to sing as we did that. Whenever we dwell in unity, whenever we have the same purpose, that we seek God's presence, and we seek to be together, to walk this journey, this life together. Whenever we dwell in unity, God commands a blessing. When we travel this road together, we work it out together with fear and trembling, no matter what might come. See, verse 9, Paul says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so you may be able to discern what is best, may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. We support each other. We encourage each other. We rebuke each other. The list could go on. But growth happens in relationship. As we grow in relationship together, our roots go deeper with each other and with God. And we're looking at a number of new opportunities in which ways we can do that in the coming months, and you'll hear more about that in the next couple of weeks. But being together as God's people, whether gathered or scattered, we looked at over the last couple of weeks, whether we gather or whether we are then scattered out into our homes and our schools, our workplaces and our streets. Being together as God's people, gathered or scattered, is one of the most important and precious things that you will do this week. We, you and I, we need to prioritise that, preacher included. Prioritise carrying his presence into every and all of our situations, so that his presence might spark a deeper fellowship together. I wonder, what parts of your life, my life, does that need to happen in this week?
Let us pray. Our gracious God and Father, creator of all that is good, we thank you for the gift of life, for the wonder of the world in which you have placed us, and for the blessings you so freely lavish upon us as your children. Forgive us that too often we take your gifts for granted and think so little of the giver. Help us to recognise your hand in the ordinary aspects of life, never to be ungrateful for food, clothing, health, family, friends, and a home. May we live from day to day in the knowledge of your goodness and love, always giving thanks for all you have given. Lord of the nations and lover of all, be the guide of those in authority who today and tomorrow bear responsibility for Northern Ireland and the world. Sustain them with patience and courage, and enable them to make hope a possibility. As citizens of heaven, remind us of our earthly duties in following guidelines and to be your hands and feet in a needy world. May we bring a sense of your presence through our actions, our words, and through everything that we do. Lord, we pray for those whose lives have been darkened by disaster, through life circumstances, and particularly through COVID-19. We pray also for those whose faith has been shaken, for those who stand bewildered and fearful in the midst of tragedy, for the injured, the bereaved, and the destitute. We command to your grace all who need your help, your comfort and calm in the midst of distress. By the power of your Holy Spirit, lift them from their darkness, and may they be awakened to the sense of your presence in their lives. Lord of the harvest, as we approach our harvest Thanksgiving service, we pray for charities and organisations across the world, like Food Bank, who help those in need. Equip them with all that they need to care for your people. Father, we bring before you this morning everything that is on our minds. We bring before you our good days and our bad days. Lord, we bring you every worry, every concern that we have on our minds, everything that is on our to-do list, and we lay them at your feet. Lord, take them and do with them as you wish. Lord, refresh and renew each of us this day in your presence. And may we go into a new week knowing that you go before us. By your Holy Spirit, awaken us to your presence in our lives. A collect for the 16th Sunday after Trinity. Grant, O merciful Lord God, that your people may have that mind that was in Christ, who emptied himself and took the form of a servant, and in humility became obedient even to death. For you have exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name, Jesus Christ the Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we close our prayers by saying together the prayer that our Father once taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Please take a seat just for a few moments as we draw to a close with a couple of announcements. DVK, or Deir Volga Kids, continues online for primary school children each Friday evening. If you know someone in that category, or that age group, please do pass on those details to them. All of these details can be found on our Facebook page or on our website as well. Next Sunday, the 4th of October, is our annual vestry meeting happening after the morning service. It's for the purpose of electing church wardens, select vestry people, and this year's a triennial, so it's selecting diocesan synods people and parochial nominators as well. All are invited to attend and to stay for that meeting, but your name needs to be on the register to be able to vote or to be elected to a particular post. But all are invited to stay for it. It'll be a short meeting, hopefully. There's a gathering for our young people, so if you're near year 8+, coming up on Friday the 9th of October. It's early stages, it's embryonic, it's new. We want to, for them, the opportunity to decide what it might look like for them. So if you know anyone in year 8+ who could be a part of that, please let them know that date and time, or get in contact with myself or Sarah about it, and we can give you more details as well. Harvest Sunday is happening on the 11th of October. Our preacher this year is Bishop Ken Clark, retired Bishop of Kilmore, Elphin and Arda, and also worked with SAMS Ireland for many years. Not only as a missionary in South America, but in the position that Stephen subsequently took up after he left it. This year, with all of the restrictions around, we're being asked not to decorate the harvest in its normal splendour, or the church in its normal splendour, should I say. And so this year we're going for a dry harvest. Thank you. It's really encouraging to stand here and look down into the porch and see the shopping trolley overflowing with food already at this stage. But we'll empty that and create an empty space for you to continue to bring more. So if you've already done that, thank you for that. But the opportunity to bring dried food this year, which we'll use to decorate the church, and then be passed on to Lisburn Food Bank in our relationship with them, which in turn will be distributed out. There is a little harvest competition for children as well, and you can pick up a pack for that today if you know someone who that could be for, and there is a wee prize for that as well, so please see that and get your hands on one of those. There is an age limit on it, okay. I'm not allowed to do it. The other thing that we're looking to begin is on a Tuesday morning. We're calling it Small Steps. In conversations with many people, Maybe they find that gathering on a Sunday morning just isn't quite right for them yet, but would love to come back in a community, in a church situation and setting. And so we're beginning something on a Tuesday morning, on Tuesday the 13th of October at 10 a.m. here in this building. Small Steps is going to be called, a short said service of morning prayer. So if you know someone who that could be for, or who would like to be a part of that, please do pass on those details, or indeed for yourself, if you want to be a part of that, you're more than welcome as well. Our next little update of everything that I've kind of just said, and some more update in terms of what our Harvest Giving is going to be for this year, in terms of our AV project partnering with an organisation called SAMS, who we know very well, to help with theological training in the country of Chile, actually. But lots more details about that in our little update, our magazine, that you'll receive this week, hopefully. So if you are a distributor and you haven't already got your hands on it, it'll be sitting here at the door on your way out for you to pick up today. Baskets there for your free will offering envelopes as well. So thank you for that. And there is an update on giving and finance within that wee magazine this time as well. So thank you for your participation. Thank you for being here today, whether that's been online, whether that's been in person. We thank you for joining us. But we hear some words from the book of Numbers. It's called the Aaronic Blessing as we close our service. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.